Data Navigator. Der Podcast zum EU Data Act.
Hallo liebe Freunde unseres Podcasts Data Navigator. In unserer kurzen Sommerpause teilen wir mit euch ein paar Podcasts, die ich vor gut einem Jahr zusammen mit Ralf Kleidenick aufgenommen habe. Dieses Mal allerdings alle auf Englisch. Hört mal rein, es gibt dort wieder spannende Geschichten, was man alles so mit Daten machen kann und wie dabei der Data Act helfen kann und auch wie er zustande gekommen ist. Viel Spaß dabei und gerne wie immer liken und subscriben. Wir freuen auf euch und ein Wiedertreffen nach der Sommerpause dann wieder in deutscher Fassung.
Welcome listeners to European Data Sharing Champions, the podcast that dives deep into the world of data-driven value creation. Across Europe, innovative minds are unlocking the potential of data, and we're here to bring their brightest ideas into the spotlight. I'm your host, Hubertus von Rönne, and joining me today is my co-host, Ralf.
Hi, everybody. A very warm welcome from my side. My name is Ralf Kleinig. I'm the other managing partner of Data Sharing Solutions, and Hubertus and I have joined forces to support local governments and public companies, how they can use data in the future to ensure public services of general interest.
We have a very special guest today, Ulrich Ahle.
He is the CEO of GaiaX and also the mayor of Ettel. Our focus today will be on Ettel.
Yeah, Hubertus and Ralf, very good morning. I have to correct you a little bit because I'm just the hobby mayor of Ettel, because Ettel belongs to the community of Borchen, and Borchen has the full-time mayor, and I'm doing this just on a voluntary basis. And in German, it is called Ortsvorsteher, but there's no real English translation for it, so I'm just calling it a hobby mayor.
What was your personal breakthrough moment when you realized that sharing data and not only keeping it for yourself, one can create extra value?
Yeah, it's simply that our future life will gravitate more and more around data, our personal life, but also our business life. And I'm living here in a region which is producing a lot of renewable energy. In our village, we are producing 34 times of our own energy by renewables. And we are not anymore able to start or to stop a power station because we can't influence when the wind is blowing or when the sun is shining. And therefore, we need to turn the way how we are producing, transporting, and using energy completely topside down. Because in the past, we started power stations to stabilize the grid. And now we need to influence the usage of energy, because we can't, as I said, can't influence anymore the production of energy. And this is only possible based on data. It is only possible when we are able to bring the producers and consumers of data together into one data ecosystem. And we call this data ecosystems data spaces. And then to start to manage the consumption of energy. And this is not possible without data. And this was one of the key points for me when I said we need to invest more and more into a sovereign usage of data, a fair and especially also interoperable way of using data.
Tell us a bit more about Ettel, what you did as Ortsvorsteher. So how did you make this happen?
Yeah, Ettlen is a little village, just 1,800 people living there, some 80 kilometers east of Dortmund, belonging to a community called Borchen. Borchen consists of five different villages, and our activities here to bring Ettlen into the future started 10 years ago, and there were two trigger points for this. First one was that our primary school was supposed to be closed because there were not enough children anymore. And an association was created called Ettlen Active. And this association fighted for this school successfully to keep it open and running, which was good because in the meantime, we have children enough and the school is stabilized. And the second trigger point was, at that time I was heading the largest political party in our city parliament, and the mayor, the former mayor, one day came to me and told me, Mr. Ahle, there are so many applicants for spots to build houses in our community, but in the two largest villages, we don't have publicly available spots anymore. And when I tell to the applicants, there are two publicly available spots in Etteln left, I often get to hear, I don't want to go there. Yeah, it is the village of the five, which is most far away from the city of Paderborn. It is somewhere, it had an image to be somewhere behind the moon, a closed community where you can't get in. And this was the starting point. These two trigger points were the starting points 10 years ago to start with workshops with the people within the village. In German, it's called Dorfwerkstätten. I don't know what the right English translation is for it. But we worked together with the inhabitants of Etteln on becoming aware of our strength, but also identifying where are the weaknesses of our village, and created working groups and started to work on these weaknesses and to improve the quality of life of the people living in the city, but also in the village, but also making the village more attractive for inhabitants to join us and to come to Etteln.
Great. And Ulrich, let me ask you if it's working, but before, you are enormously involved in especially the digital transformation of Etteln, I've learned. And could you please tell us more about it, and if it might be an example for other cities, for other villages, what you did? I've learned you did a lot for the infrastructure. Could it be an example for other villages?
So to make the first part of the answer short, yes, definitely. And that's our ambition, not only to do it for our village ourselves, but to provide blueprints, to provide best practices also to other rural areas to copy it. And Ralf, you know it better than me. In Germany, there is a high demand of digitization, of introducing digital solutions. Because when it comes to digitization in the public area, Germany is, there is even a formal ranking of this. It is called the DESI report, the Digital European Society Index, where Germany is actually ranked on position number 19. So we are leading the last third of this ranking of the European countries. And in my professional business over the last years, I've been traveling a lot, and I think I have quite a good understanding of what different countries are doing when it comes to digitization of public processes. And Germany is at least 5 years behind the leading European countries, which are Estonia, with no discussion and question, Finland, Netherlands, Spain, Malta made a big step during the last years. So these are the leading European countries. But when we started in Etteln, our activities following this Dorfwerkstatt, we created also one working group for marketing, to improve the external perception of what's going on in the village, to improve the image of the village. And we identified 6 years ago that the topic of digitization could also be the marketing kernel for our activities. And so we did already back in 2018 a future conference called Digitization in Rural Areas, so Digitalisierung auf dem Lande, and had a very good conference with 200 participants and high-level speakers from the region, from the regional government in Düsseldorf. And we then defined the target to develop the village of Etteln to become the digital lighthouse village in Germany. And we started then a bit more than 4 years ago to create first the digital infrastructure. And it comes with connectivity because data are getting bigger and bigger, and we need the connectivity to manage the data. And those of you, and both of you, I think, are aware of a funding program of the German government called White Spots or Weiße Flecken in German, where the German government and the local government is supporting the communities with 90% of the cost to bring fiber to the homes, also in rural areas. In our village center, the German Glasfaser, so a fiber company in Germany, Deutsche Glasfaser, they provided it free of charge for the citizens without public funding. But they did it only there where it made sense for them business-wise. And so some 50 houses and farms were left open. And our former mayor convinced the city parliament that 10% of own contribution to such a project would be too much. For the whole community of Borchen, we had in total 74 houses which had less than 30 Mbit connectivity. And according to an engineering office, it would have cost 5.15 million euro to connect these 74 houses. 10% of this are 500,000, and he said that's too much. So there was no solution for us. And we in our village have a history of not being stopped by challenges, but what's Ärmel hochkrempeln in English?
Getting one's hands dirty is a good expression there.
Yeah, and this is really a DNA we have. So we started in a voluntary work to deploy fiber to 50 houses and farmers in the outside of the village. We started with this idea in a first meeting on January 10th, 2020. Then did a collection of those who wanted to join this activity. In total, we got 55. Made a plan how to connect them. And then 60 people over several months spent 3,500 hours, and we deployed 30 kilometers of fiber in a voluntarily.
You did it yourself, no?
We did it ourselves. Yeah, I've been the project manager at that time. So I know now how to deploy fiber. Yeah,
and it's not forbidden in Germany to do it by yourself.
No, it is not forbidden, but we had to get some approvals from local authorities, and we had to get the approvals from private people because we used 185 different lens spots to go through it with our fiber. And we had the approvals of the 185 landowners within 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And if a neutral engineering office would do such a job, it would take at least a year. Yeah. But here everybody knows everybody, and we selected the right people to go to the right persons. And it took us a bit more than 2 weeks to get all signatures, with the exception of two. And here we really had to work. We had to do some mediation of conflicts neighbors had for years. And in one case, we were successful. In another case, we were not successful. And we had to do a replanning of the way where we wanted to go with the fiber. And finally, in July of the same year, so 6 months later, we put this network into operation. And it was during the corona time, during the lockdown phase. So people were happy to get out of their houses to do something. But at that time in Germany, you might remember, it was not allowed to be outside together with more than one person. We had one critical situation where we had to go underneath one of the main streets of the village. We digged a hole on both sides and then used an earth rocket to tuk, 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 go underneath the street. There were four people looking at the one side of the street into the hole and the other four to the other. And then the police came and said, "What's going on here? You are standing together with eight people. You know, only two are allowed because we are in the lockdown, counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times €250. So please, I'd like to have €1,900 as a fine because you're not allowed to do so." And we said, "Hey, we are doing this on a voluntary work." And he said, "Yeah, you're not doing it professionally. It's your private fund to do so. Please, €1,900." But finally, we were able to convince him that we are doing this for the sake of the people in the village, and they left us in peace, and we were able to solve the situation.
Excellent. So you literally took it into your own hands. It's a great example of self-sufficiency. You build the infrastructure. And now, can you give us also a bit more insight? You have, I think, a project called DDoS. So they're good examples for others to learn from what you now do with data.
So we are doing a lot now based on this infrastructure. In addition to the fiber network, which we have in place, we installed a LoRaWAN network, so a mobile communication network. We deployed a lot of sensors, sensors, for example, to measure the groundwater level, to measure the river level, to measure the rain, the soil moisture. We have parking sensors. We have sensors in the waste bins to inform the people in the village about the filling level of the waste bins. And all this sensor data are connected to a digital platform. So we deployed a Fiverr platform. Fiverr is an open source technology for the digitization of cities and communities. In the meantime, the worldwide leading open source technology for smart cities. Far more than 300 cities, 350 cities around the world are deploying their digitization based on Fiverr in large cities. In Berlin, Ralph, you know the Tegel project. They're using Fiverr technology. Vienna is using it. Montevideo, Tokyo, and also Etteln.
Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah, and also Etteln is using Fiverr. And with this, we also proved that Fiverr technology is really scalable. So it's a digital platform, and we are connecting all the data to this platform. And what we also did is we created a three-dimensional digital twin of the village using a drone with a radar scanner. We created a so-called point cloud and a mesh, and have now a digital representation of the village. And within this digital representation of the village, we are showing the sensor data. So you can see what is the level of the river, how much rain has been there, what's the filling level of a waste bin, and so on. But this is just collecting data, presenting it. Stop. And now we are working on the creation of smart solutions based on this data. To give you two examples for this, one you mentioned already, support for the fire brigade. So we are working on the implementation of an automated flying drone with the approach, once an alarm is raised, that in this moment the drone gets the right geolocation and is starting immediately, automated, to fly to this position where the accident is, where the fire is. And once our voluntarily fire brigade is in their cars after 2, 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe, they have a tablet in the cars and can see while driving to the place where they need to go what's going on there. So is there a lot of fog? They can put on their oxygen masks, or a large fire, they can, while driving there, already activate another brigade to support them, or there is not sufficient space on the highway, so they get the information, don't take the formal highway exit, but go to the highway from the side, open the fence, and go there directly. This is one of the examples. Another example using a lot of the sensor data is a flood pre-warning system. Etteln is located in the valley of the River Altenau, so it's a small river, but we had a severe flood some 60 years ago where 6 people died. And after this, a lot of activities were taken, so the river was widened up. But we now have, due to the climate change, a different situation. We are planning a new area for houses, and there's now a simulation that if in the area of a normally dry side valley, there is a heavy rain situation of 90 millimeter of rain per hour, then we will have 1 meter of water in this planned area. And for this, we are actually working on the creation of a flood pre-warning system. So using the sensor data, enhancing it by weather forecast information, so meteorological models, by hydrological models, and then based on the sensor data, based on the weather forecast, to provide a early pre-warning system for the citizens, for the public administration. And here we are simply copying a solution which is in place since 2 years in the city of Montevideo in Uruguay. They also use FiveAir. They have such a flood pre-warning system because they have quite often heavy rain situations in the backlands, which is causing plenty flooding situations in the city. And they developed and deployed such a solution, which we are now copying to the village of Etteln in Germany.
Wow. Ulrich, we've seen you have a lot of experience with a pretty small village like Etteln, but now you are working for a European institution, GAIA-X. What do you think? It's a question of growth, that you are successful in Etteln and other bigger cities are not so successful in Germany?
No, it's not. It's not a question of size, in my understanding. It is a question of mindset. Let me give you a few examples for that. I mentioned before that Estonia is the leading country when it comes to digitization. Many people say, yeah, it's because it's a small country. Yeah, just 1.7 million people there, most of them living in Tallinn, and it's quite easy. No, this is not the case, because when I visited last time Estonia, 2 weeks later, I've been at an event where I met the CIO of Liechtenstein. And Liechtenstein is even smaller than Estonia. And he told me, in our case, it's completely different. Here in Liechtenstein, one ministry is asking the other, please show me the law which is requiring me to share my data with you. So it's a complete different mindset. And also we as Germans, we are in general not that open when it comes to the adoption of digital solutions, when it comes to the adoption of cashless processes, for example. Yeah, we are using still a lot of cash, and there are differences. And coming back to what we did in our village, I think this cannot be transferred to larger cities, because the tradition of voluntarily work is, at least in my experience, stronger established in little villages, in rural areas, than it is within villages. Let me give you one example, describing a bit the DNA of the people in Etteln. It is, I found it in the history of our village from 1935. So before the second World War, There was at that time Etteln was an own community with an own mayor and with an own school, and this school had stability problems. So the mayor called the person who was responsible for the overall region, the Landrat, and said, "My friend, our school really has problems, stability problems, and what should we do?" And his boss said, as a joke, "Just break it down." And then they continued with a phone call. And 3 days later, his boss came to Etteln and wanted to have a look at the school himself. At that time, 3 days later, the school was broken down already by the people in the village. And all the people in the village together built a new school in a voluntarily work, 1935, which became the most modern school in the whole region. Already at that time, had a swimming pool in the basement to allow children to learn to swim. I myself went into the school, learned to swim in that school. And that was 1935, and describes a bit the self-understanding of the people in the village. And I think to find such a self-understanding, such a community of people who are willing and able, and this combination is required to be willing and to be able, I think it's difficult to find in a more urban area.
It's a wonderful story, but it also gives us hope that maybe we can catch up in Germany by using this power of communities in rural areas.
Yeah, that's right. On the other hand, our political situation or our structure with the federalism is not supportive when it comes to the creation of interoperable digital solutions. This is definitely a challenge we have here in Germany. Yeah, we need simply leaders who are able to create such solution, to establish best practices, and have the ability to bring the different stakeholders together to allow them to agree on certain standards for digitization, because data spaces, digital platforms are not possible to interoperate if we are not able to agree on standards, standards for data models, standards for APIs. And this is what we are working on. What Fiverr is, the Fiverr Foundation is working on, but also what GaiaX is working on to enable the creation of interoperable data spaces. In our case, based on a European value system, yeah, the Data Governance Act, the Data Act, the now coming AI Act are providing us the framework in which we are working on the creation of this interoperable data spaces for the benefit of the end users, be these end users private people or businesses or public administrations.
Excellent. Yeah, this is one of the reasons, the most important reasons why Hubertus and me, we are dealing with data sharing solutions. We support this idea you mentioned and this philosophy of that it is possible in Germany, in every regions and in every city, that data can be used in a very other way as we did before.
I think it's a wonderful example. Thank you very much, Ulrich, because what you managed to create for us is this combination, the power of community doing something for their own community, just getting their hands dirty and starting to act in the mindset of these European values, where we think more broadly, where we think about sharing in our European value system of sovereignty and trust. It was a great pleasure talking to you. I would not be surprised if people would love to get more knowledge or information about Etteln. What can they do if they want to know about Etteln?
They can go to etteln.de, the website, but they can also reach out to me. So you are more than welcome to share also my contact information. We are developing these solutions in Etteln also to be a blueprint for others, to support others and make their villages, their cities more attractive and more livable.
love to support exactly this mindset. So we take on your offer to offer your contact details to those that are interested and to everyone that has been listening in. Thank you very much for joining us, and look out for the next episode. We very much like this discussion today, and we'll continue very soon with a discussion with the city of Vienna.
Data Navigator, der Podcast zum EU Data Act.